This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06. You're with Kelvin and Hezril on the evening edition. First up, we're looking at the Bersatu sackings. Yesterday, Organizing Secretary Mohammad Suhaimi Yahya sent a letter to Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad revoking his membership for sitting with the opposition in Parliament on May 18th. Four other members also got similar letters, including Jerloan MP Datuk Seri Mukris Mahathir and MWA MP Syed Saddiq Abdul Rahman. And it's significant as it explicitly represents Party President Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's latest attempt to win over control of the party.
Right. In response, though, the MPs issued a statement saying that the move was illegal since they didn't break party rules and weren't given the chance to defend themselves. And it didn't stop there because Bersatu Secretary General Marzuki Yahya then sacked Suhaimi because the decision was made without his consent as Secretary General, since he has the final say on memberships.
But things aren't that simple, because party sources say that Tan Sri Muhyiddin had replaced Marzuki as Secretary General beforehand with Dato Sri Hamzah Zainuddin. The drama didn't quite stop there. And earlier today, Tun M went to the Bersatu HQ to challenge the leadership to sack him in person. But in a press conference, he said that ultimately his plan is to remove Tan Sri Muhyiddin from Bersatu with all Supreme Council members present.
Just as we thought that, you know, Tun M would fade into irrelevance when he resigned as Prime Minister, clearly today's drama, you know, all of this unfolding right now is showing that he's still got a long way to go, and clearly he's willing to fight it out. So I'm really not sure what, you know, Tan Sri Muhyiddin's faction must be thinking, and perhaps what implications that this could have on the Perikatan national government.
Yeah, it seems like the mess, I guess, to put it lightly.
It's a lot. We're still compressing it. We're still processing it, folks.
Yeah, it's like the mess is truly with Bersatu. And we'll see what really takes place there. Two prime minister candidates are within the same party. Again, we still don't quite know why that, you know, we just don't know how it'll turn out.
Right.
And I'm not sure if we're all necessarily in the right mood for it, but you can let us know how you're feeling about these the latest series of developments within Bersatu. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us, we have Muhammad Rafiq Rashid Ali, a lawyer representing Tun M as well as the other Bersatu members who were apparently sacked. So we're now going to have a conversation with him. Rafiq, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, guys.
So, what avenues are currently being explored by the Bersatu members who were served with those termination letters?
We'll have to correct that a bit, yeah, because, yes, as everyone knows, yesterday, the 28th of May, all five were served with letters apparently stating that they've been relieved of their position as members of the Bersatu Party. We have taken the stance that it has no legal effect, simply because the provisions quoted under that, which is Article 10.2.2 and 10.2.3, does not arise at all.
And what grounds are being used to challenge the validity of the sacking? So you use the word relieve. Is that the exact terminology being used in those letters?
The exact terminology we use is in Bahasa. It says that berhenti secara serta merta. That means automatically being removed or automatically being relieved as members of the party. However, the stance taken by the five MPs is quite simple. If the letters are referring to the acts of the five MPs in Parliament on the 18th of five, when there were 18th of May, sorry, when there was a sitting, and the position taken by those five MPs in not supporting the current government, that does not mean that they have left the party. They never intended to leave the party. They never stated they wanted to leave the party. So in other words, in simple parlance, they never left Bersatu.
Right. So the party members have said that they should have had the right to defend themselves. Could you take us through what that process should have been?
As I've stated earlier, if we are stating that this organizing secretary of all persons who we are saying doesn't have any legal basis to issue those letters, if they are referring to those specific clauses and the specific incidents of those five MPs right now sitting in the opposition bench, and these provisions or impugned provisions, sorry, only talk about the leaving the party, that doesn't arise. The act of an MP is a constitutional act enshrined on him. So we are taking the simple way forward that the letter doesn't have any legal effect. It's like writing on running water.
So then is it safe then to assume then that at least from the perspective of Tunem and his fellow Bersatu members, then that they are still part of the party?
Yes. Tun and the four of them are still members of the party. Tun is still the chairman of the party. In fact, Tun took the very proactive step of actually informing Haji Marzuki Yahya, who is the Secretary General of Bersatu, to issue a letter to immediately terminate the services of the state organizing secretary, who clearly went against the constitution in issuing these state letters. And Tun, in fact, as everyone will know by now, is already viral in social media as well, that he was present in Bersatu HQ together with the four other MPs. They were just exercising their rights as members of the party.
Right. And just looking also at Bersatu's party constitution as well as the ROS, how do those two things interplay with the current situation that we're seeing?
As I've stated earlier, there is nothing within the constitution of Bersatu which says that when you choose to sit against the current government, then you will have to immediately terminate or you immediately cease to be a member of the party. There's nothing which in the constitution of Bersatu which states that, number one. Number two, ROS is always clear. The way societies are run, as long as it's done in accordance to the rule of law, as long as it runs in accordance to the constitution of the party, then ROS cannot just simply come in and have a say. So it is up to anyone who wants to take it to ROS. And then ROS comes in. And as I've stated very clearly at the starting of this question and answer session, it's very simple. The five MPs have stated that they've never left the party. So it is now for ROS if they want to come in.
So moving beyond the technicalities then, what can you tell us about the current dynamics of the party? Are there members who are planning to make a move to join the five MPs in question, who are led by Tun, of course?
At this point of time, I will not be able to confirm that. But what we do know, that we suddenly realize there's a very strong swell from the grassroots members who are suddenly questioning this unilateral move and suddenly questioning how come the founder of the party is now being sacked by, of all persons, an organizing secretary of the party.
On that note, Rafiq, thank you so much for those insights.
Very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. You just heard Muhammad Rafiq Rashid Ali, lawyer and advisor in the legal team of the five Bersatu MPs. After this, we're going to have a conversation with Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. So stay tuned for that conversation. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:18 with Kelvin and Hezriel on the Evening Edition, and we're talking about the Bersatu Five, well, essentially the five MPs who were sent termination letters, though today they have disputed that and that they still remain members of the party. We're now crossing over to Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Bridget, thanks for joining us on the show.
Good evening.
What do you make of this move to sack Tunem and his faction? Was this the only remaining move for the Bersatu leadership?
Oh, Please, there's many more moves still to come. This is an intensification of the fight. You see that this war that began in February intensified with a vote of no confidence and has really, you know, congealed around the Bersatu elections and the party elections. You know, Muhyiddin needs to have this as a winning litmus test for his leadership. And it's become very contentious, and they're playing their cards. The sacking card was expected, and I think what was unexpected was Tun going to occupy the office today and to fight back. So I think in that particular way. And of the two men, Muhyiddin has the most to lose in this process. And I think it's a really, we're seeing this playing out in four different arenas, obviously with the public, within the party itself, in the parliament numbers, and I think as we will see is moving forward in the courtroom.
So there's a merry-go-round happening at the moment, with legitimacy being questioned all around, including whether Bersatu's secretary Muhammad Suhaimi is even secretary and whether Marzuki is still the secretary general. How can we make sense of the different positions and moving pieces here?
Well, I think, you know, as I think that what we can, you know, the validity of these different players will probably is already being questioned and will continue to be questioned. As this was happening a week ago when they held a meeting in Bersatu and Mahathir was actually excluded from that meeting, that was also questioned about whether or not it fits within the actual constitutional parameters. I think, you know, lawyers are best to look at the details of the Bersatu constitution. But I think it's important to recognize that there are a couple things that have shifted. First of all, the Muhyiddin is using the powers of being in government and using these advantages to his side, particularly the position of the control of the ROS, the Register of Societies. And interestingly enough, the same procedures and laws Mahathir knows very well because he set many of those in place in 1988. And so he's looking to see where, both constitutionally and in processes, Muhyiddin and his allies don't cross their T's and dot their I's. And he's taking advantage of that. And also, not only for, you know, challenging Muhyiddin, but also in a war with the public and also attrition are trying to bring people over to perceiving that that there's a hung parliament and that Muhyiddin doesn't have the numbers to rule.
Right. And, well, seemingly Tan Sri Muhyiddin has also kept a low public profile throughout this whole thing. Why has that been the case?
Well, he's technically, I understand, still under self-quarantine, right? But I also think he doesn't want to be seen as pushing the knife in these processes of carrying these things out, but more the people that are his allies to do so. That gives Muhyiddin a space to move in different directions, maybe even out of Bersatu. I think, you know, he's not choosing to be on the front line. Obviously, because one of the things that happens, if he's seen as doing this, then the response is that people in the party feel that this is not the right thing to do and might move away from him. And I think that he really is in a position of weakness in terms of this process because he is so dependent on support for so many different quarters that if he moves in a scene to be acting in such a way that is harming Mahathir, that this also affects his party support in that process. He'd rather have his allies do this job for him.
Right. And where do you see this headed next for the players involved then? Let's start with Tun M and his faction.
Well, Tun has made his move, and this, is, of course, comes after Muhyiddin's move yesterday. He's occupied the party office, and he's challenging it over the issues of appeal and legality. What we can see that this contest is far from over. There's been clear moves on Mahathir's part to search for loyalties within the party, and I think many of those in Bersatu are looking for a safe landing, and they're not sure if Muhyiddin can provide that. I think, you know, it's clear that this battle determines Tun's chances of ever returning as PM, which I think still remain quite slim. But it also allows him to, you know, to raise the issues that he cares about, to make himself to have some sort of redemption in this process. He's couching this, you know, the issues already in the speeches today about this, about Najib and about the issues involving making alliances with on the issues of 1MDB. I think, you know, Mahathir's claimed he'll sack Muhyiddin in that position. So I think that this battle is going to intensify. But ultimately, whatever happens with the sacking decision, Tun has will find another party. He either create a new one, which might be a little difficult legally, given that he doesn't control the ROS and other things and processes, or he might settle in some other Pakatan party, as that was the case, as what Versace did, by the way, when it was threatened in the election in 2018. So I think we see a situation where, the person who's most hurt by this in this process, at least, is Muhyiddin, because he has the most at stake. Of course, Tun himself has very few limited constraints that he can have, and of course, it shows how that the position that he's put himself in. For Muhyiddin, I think, as you say, the question whether or not he will come out into the front on these issues and make a statement, or will he stay in the party? I think that as this continues to escalate, that I think that there are, you know, it depends on the sets of arenas. I think Muhyiddin in particular, the question becomes about what his numbers are in parliament, whether or not there's a legal decision in terms of the party itself, how he wins in the party or loses. These are the things that are coming next. But I think Muhyiddin is still going to be prime minister until there is actually a parliamentary sitting. And then things shift, and at least in terms of this battle. Even if he still has the power of the office, and that continues to give him a strong position.
Right. So we heard from Rafiq Rashid Ali just a moment ago, lawyer and advisor in the legal team of the five MPs, who said that there's a groundswell of Bersatu grassroots who are questioning the sacking. What are your observations?
I would agree with that. I think that in the last few weeks, I've been saying that the real battle is going to be the one in Bersatu, and Tun and Mukris and others are responding. I think that not just to the sacking, but also to the Mukris's removal in Kedah, to the sense of how Tun has been treated. Many of these people came into the party around Mahathir. And I think they're unhappy with how Mahathir has been treated. They're also unhappy with how the process in terms of the Muhyiddin government. Muhyiddin, of course, has his loyalists as well. And so the battle is on. And there has been a movement in towards Tun and Mukris's direction, but it's still a very intensive battle. And I think Muhyiddin has his loyalists in the party, and most importantly, has control of the government apparatus that determines what happens in the party. And that gives him a very strong advantage, especially that he also has the access to resources, although there are much less so than there used to be.
So are there parallels we can draw between this event and Tan Sri Muhyiddin sacking from UMNO, or do you see otherwise?
Well, I think, there are lots of parallels here. I think the first thing you think about are how many battles Tun has been in terms of political parties, 1986, 1990, 1998, with Najib, 2015, 2016, and now again, right? This is something he's managed to be in at quite some times, and he's played different cards. And I think we're seeing not only some of those cards being played, but similar ones, but perhaps new ones that are being played. I think that this is not about the sacking from the perspective of when Muhyiddin did in 2015 and 16, which was on the issue of the scandal. That was about a principal position that was taken, and he was sacked for taking that principal position. In a sense, the principals are not on Muhyiddin's side this time around. And I think that there is not the same analogy as in 2015, 2016. In fact, the principles are on the other foot in this context. But it is also ultimately the parallels are there, that it is about power, and it's about maintaining and being in power. And I think, Bersatu was Tun Mahathir's creation, and it is a party that is actually also facing some of the struggles that other parties that Tun Mahathir has had a lot of work with, and especially UMNO. And so I think we're going to see, the question will be whether or not these two men survive politically through this process, but whether or not Bersatu does.
Bridget, thank you so much for the analysis.
You're most welcome.
That was Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Of course, talking to us about the latest developments. We're likely going to see more of them over the weekend, so we'll keep you posted. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.